Check, check, check. Check, check, check. There we go. All right.
It's me.
It's always, yeah. And turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 1, if you would. In the meantime. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Who? Oh, that's Bill. He was there on Wednesday. All right. We really shouldn't have to turn there. We could just all say it out loud together. But let me read this poem. It has a lot to do with what Sam just said. It says, the name of the poem is called 100 Years From Now. It says, "It will not make much difference, friend, 100 years from now, if you live in a stately mansion or in a floating river scow. If the clothes you wear were tailor-made or just pieced together somehow, if you eat big steaks or beans and cake 100 years from now, won't matter your bank account or the make of car you drive, for the grave will claim all your riches and fame and the things for which you strive. There's a deadline that we all must meet. No one will show up late. It won't matter all the places you've been. Each one will keep that date. We will only have in eternity what we gave away on earth. When we go to the grave, we can only save the things of eternal worth. What matters, friend, the earthly gain for which some men will bow? For your destiny will be sealed, you see, 100 years from now." Put a number on it for you. It doesn't matter if you're 5 or 95. 100 years from now, it won't matter what you have or the things that you worked for. Unless they were eternal. And in fact, if you're 95, we have one guy that's almost there in Fullerton. Is he 93 now? Harold? 92? Harold's 92. Yeah. you got a few years to catch up to Harold. But, 100 years from now, most people won't even remember what you did. You know? I mean, it might not even take that long for, you don't even remember what you did yesterday, so. I'm not saying I'm any better. I'm just saying, that's just what happens. If you're 5 years old, if you're 95 years old, 100 years from now, Ecclesiastes says, what is all the things that you worked for? Are you eternally minded? Are you not just eternally minded? Are you eternally geared? Are you geared toward eternity so that what you strive for will last? You know that what Sam quoted there, unless you are heavenly minded, you are no earthly good. How real that is. Well, think about it, practically speaking. If you give someone enough money to live their entire life, the rest of their life on earth, you may have done something for them, or you may not have done something for them. Because there's no telling what they will do with that money. You may have done the worst thing you could have ever done for that person. In fact, when I sold some life insurance and heard some stories, usually that life insurance claim was the worst thing that could have happened to the family because of so much money being argued over. You see? And the money was the issue. It was always, and why didn't they think about the people? Why didn't they think about what really mattered. But you see, the things we have, we can't even guarantee that the people that we leave them to will do something smart with it. That's what Ecclesiastes says. He says, you can leave it to the next generation, but there's no guarantee whether he'll be a fool or a wise man. And it's, who knows what'll make the difference. You see, the point is not to get discouraged about what you're doing here on earth. The point is to get encouraged about what to be considering and working for in this life. My youth pastor once said, when I was in eighth grade, he said, there are only two things in this life that you can take to heaven with you. What do you think they are? People and the Word of God. There's only two things you can take with you into heaven. So why don't we start taking them into heaven? And let all the stuff that we have and all the things of earth just fall away like it's going to. Because everything we have is going to be gone. So why not just get rid of it before you feel bad about it? You know, use it while it's in your hands. As we've said before, you know, one day you're going to be looked at as a very generous person. Because you're going to give away all you have. And it's not because you're nice. It's because you're dead. You see? And someone will get it and they'll think, what do I do with this? And they'll take it down to Goodwill. And this is what my grandpa told me that before he died. And so he said, so I'm getting rid of it so you guys don't have to. That was actually a pretty loving thing to do, wouldn't you think? He said, well, I can make the trip to Goodwill. You got to go to work. He's like, I'm retired. You see, he understood that the things of earth are just here for a little while to help out the people that you love. Why don't we start leveraging things to gain people instead of leveraging people to gain things? Isn't that what we do so often? We find out who we can meet so that we can get what we want. Find out how to use this person to get what I want. A sale. Respect. Position. If I use this person, talk to them in the right way, befriend them the right way, maybe I'll get that position I've been waiting for. That thing I've been wanting. You see, the people are really the only thing that we can take into heaven with us. It's these things of eternal worth. It's these two things that really matter. It's this book right here. And the book itself, you're not going to take with you. So hide it in your heart that you might not sin against God. That you might be able to take it with you into heaven. And so Romans chapter 1, verse 16 says, and this is based on the fact that you are eternally minded. It says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Now, if you're earthly minded, you are ashamed of the gospel of Christ. True or not true? Because preaching the gospel will be in conflict with the things you have. Because it says to come to the cross. It says to give to those who ask of you. It says to live sacrificially, to deny yourself and take up the cross. The gospel will confront your earthly mindedness. And so, if we're earthly minded, we become ashamed of that gospel. Because we're not so sure we want to tell the guy. So you're saying if I become a Christian, I got to give up my drinking and my drugs and my girls and my, you know, the women. Yeah. You were expecting something else? You're expecting to come to Christ and not give that up? Who told you that was possible? You see? So, if we like the things, you mean I've got to give up my lying, cheating ways so that I can, you know, make a few extra sales? Yeah. Yeah, you do. Well, I don't want to do that. Well, then you're ashamed of the gospel. How often when we're in a conversation with someone and we're standing there and we could see that perfect opportunity to share the gospel with this person, but we realize it's in conflict with the conversation. It's in conflict with what these guys are talking about. Are we ashamed to bring it up? Are we ashamed to insert the gospel into the conversation? Now, we can be wise about that. We don't have to just, like, you know, shrug it off. You know, it was cool the other day. My landlord came over, visited for a brief moment. And my daughters were standing there. We were talking. And I forget how the issue of a dog came up, but I was able to slide this in there, you know. Yeah, my daughter's been praying for a dog. I mean, just slide that one in there, and now he knows, right? We're people that pray. Oh, okay. You know, and then he kind of starts looking around, and he sees the scripture on the microwave, sees the scripture on the refrigerator. You know, you can kind of tell things are clicking now, you know. It's like, oh, yeah. But you see, are you geared to where you're going to guarantee that the gospel's going to get in this conversation somehow? Or are you saying, I don't know, it's a little uncomfortable at this point? Are you ashamed of the gospel? I pray you're not. And so maybe you need to say this with me right now. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Let's say it together. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Amen. And so you might need to tell the devil that, because maybe he's the one in the back of your head telling you, you don't want to say that right now. Are you serious? You're going to talk about that? You're going to bring that up right now? Yep. And you look and you say, watch me. You know, it might be a poor, fumbling effort, but you know what? You got in the end zone. Doesn't matter what you looked like when you got in there. You got in there. And that's what the camera's going to show. You know? Just get in the end zone. Just get the message out there. Fumbling and stuttering and however you have to do it, just get the gospel out there. Because it's the weak that God uses, not the strong. For us men, we've got to get that through our heads and through our hearts and through every part of us, because we've been trained to think, when I'm strong, then I'll be good. Wrong. When you're strong and you know it, then you're unusable. When you're weak and unable, then you're usable. When you can't really do it quite right, but someone hears your heart and that you really believe this stuff, whatever it is you're trying to say, all I know, this guy believes in Jesus. I really don't understand what he just said, but this guy believes in Jesus. And I think I need to do the same thing. You see, you don't have to be eloquent. You just got to give him Jesus. And it's the gospel of Christ, by the way. This word here for ashamed is where we get the English word schematics. Episkunomai is the word, in case you're wondering. I know you're all writing that down now. In the Greek letters, episkunomai. And the idea actually is kind of funny, because It's what we do in a conversation when something we don't like comes up. We kind of wince at it. We change our face. The word literally means disfigurement of face. And so something comes up in a conversation and we kind of we change our face at it. We're like, ooh, I don't know if I want to bring that up right now. And so we disfigure our face. We change, it kind of has this dishonor to it. That's not what we're doing. We want to, when we're bringing the gospel, we feel no dishonor whatsoever. We're not ashamed. This is your life. May it be true that this is your life. And it's this thing that you're not ashamed of is the gospel. It's the gospel of Christ. Now, in Greek and in most languages, there's a few ways of saying this. When you say of Christ, in English, you're saying it could be from Christ, it could be about Christ, it could be something like this. But in this case, it is to Christu. It's not like dia Christu, it's not like de Christu, it's to Christu, which is possession of Christ. It belongs to Christ. This gospel is his, and you cannot be ashamed of his gospel. It's his gospel that you're preaching, not yours. You see? It's the gospel of Christ. And what gospel is that? What gospel did Jesus come and preach? He preached the good news, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's the gospel of Christ. And how did he make that gospel effective? By the death, burial, and resurrection. He came and he confronted the powers of darkness with the cross by dying to himself and by following everything he taught us to do. Denying himself, taking up the cross. Denying pleasure, giving up worldly things, being heavenly minded. He said, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Do you want to follow me? Are you sure? Have you counted the cost? But I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I will sleep in the woods if I have to. You see? We will go without a home if we need to, because I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Now, when you live like that, you're much more pointed to make sure that your conversations are for the gospel, because you don't want to waste your time and your efforts, right? Here's the thing about living in the middle, is you can kind of be wishy-washy. Well, you know, I didn't spend that much on it, so it's not that big of a waste if I don't do it anyway. You know, this is why we charge for a book. Because a free book, no one reads. Why is that? Because it didn't cost you anything. There's no value. There's no personal input to it. If it costs you something, you feel an obligation to, you know, read the thing. So I remember the first men's conference I did, I charged $2 for the book just because I wanted to cover the cost of printing it. Because the last time I gave them all away, no one read it. I was trying to be nice, you know. Said, let me charge $2. Everyone read the book after they paid $2. I was like, really, $2? You know, it's not that big of a deal. But there was some personal input to this thing. And they all read the book. And so when we are in the middle ground, we're not putting anything into it. We say, you know what? I didn't spend much on it. I didn't give up much. So, if I don't live it, I didn't waste much. But that's a deceptive thought, because you did waste. You did spend. You spent your life on things that won't last anyway. And just think about it. What you're doing, what you're receiving for what you're doing, how long will it last you? How long will that money last you? A week? Depends on the job you got. If you're in retirement, how long will it last you? You're not real sure. Some of you are insecure about that. You're hoping that your retirement makes it to the end of your life. And that you don't run out of retirement and you know before you get there. You're not sure which one you want first. You see, these things don't last. But if you're trusting God and you're heavenly minded, all that stuff isn't the point. What matters is, have you invested in eternity? Because God will take care of you. God will make a way. Now, if you're working for those earthly things so that you can get the heavenly reward, then work. Because you're now using things to gain people, to gain lives, to gain souls, rather than using people to gain things. And when you drive down the street today, when you walk into work, when you walk into office or wherever you're going to go, the first person you see, ask yourself, am I going to gain that person or use that person? Am I going to gain that person for Christ, or am I going to use that person to gain what I